download from Triple J.
For more music, current affairs, comedy and culture, triplej.net.au.
And now...
Triple J.
Triple J Mornings with Zan.
When I was writing this record, actually, I thought the movie that gave it its inspiration was Coming to America.
Classic.
It felt like it made sense. It felt like there was this bogus story that an ultra-rich, fictional African character came to America and lived in the slums in order to find true love. And I felt like there was aspects of that story that, whilst being completely different, related here. And I wrote the record and as it developed, it really became clear that this place where darkness and light and good and bad things happen felt like the soul of the record. So it enabled me to not be too worried about, oh, the record is too dark or it's too light or it's too anything. It's just these things happen and all these strange stories, stories that are real but are crazier than fiction. Tucked in bay shirt, fella in a fluoro vest must be counted. Bumped around on her way through young scoundrel. Barely looked back, she raised her hand up. Sympathetic shrug from an old bystander. Collects herself and carries on to the club where the big glass doors at the front open up. Winning is so much fun and she on the cusp of it. Step on the carpet that bring on the rush of it. Banality, reality, and now she departed it. Casablanca, Ilsa Bunn, and she got a part in it. Cleopatra, Indian dream. Gotta keep the heart of the golden goose beating. Lights are flashing, the machine is beaming. Interact your own wrist, the machine's...
Let's talk about some of the songs on Smokey's Horn. Knee Length Socks is the song that we've currently been playing pretty heavily over the last couple of weeks on Triple J. Kind of tracks your own musical discoveries growing up. What can you tell us about the story behind that song?
I grew up really fascinated by punk rock and hip-hop. And when I was into punk rock, it was Black Flag and it was Dead Kennedys. But then my hip-hop was A Tribe Called Quest and Run DMC and Public Enemy. And I was in ripped flannelette shirts and ripped khaki army pants and long hair. And, you know, I dyed it black and I had honey to try and make dreadlocks in my hair. I mean, I was just disgusting. But the only clubs that I could get into as an underager was the clubs that my brother put on when he moved to Sydney, and he was really into Britpop, amongst other things, but he just went through a really strong phase. And so there I was with my friends, and we were the most out of place, weird, unappealing, grungy, dirty young skater guys that you could imagine. But we kind of thought we were pretty cool. We snuck in, and there were always adventures because I lived in the Blue Mountains, so... You'd catch a train down and we had nowhere to stay. So you'd have to... Everything would revolve around the train timetables. There would be the 11 p.m. train and there'd be the 4 a.m. train. And you can't go home before 11, but 4 is a bit much in the 1 or 2 degree cold in the mountains in winter. But everything would revolve around them. So, yeah, we would rush down to the cross and we'd go through the different train stations. And it would just all be an adventure. And we would end up in these clubs trying to dance what we thought was cool. And it was so far removed from the Britpop scene and those Fred Perry shirts and that tight little look. And I was really trying to remember what were some of the fashions of that time, because it's kind of confusing because you got your Damon Albans who would wear tracksuit pants and like baggy pants on stage, but then there was your Jarvis Cockers with really skinny collared shirts and stuff. And actually that was probably the hardest thing about this song, was trying to make sure that I got some of those fashion things right.
Factually correct 90s fashion.
I was just trying to think, what was the ones that are the dead set giveaways? And I, for various reasons, I hit my brother up and he was busy and we didn't quite get the chance to confirm it. And then after I finished the song and played it, was mastered, and I talked to him and my sister-in-law, because she was really into that scene too, and I said, were knee-length socks part of the fashion? Maybe not knee length, but were they there? And she's like, yeah, they were there. And I was just like, yes! I didn't get it wrong. This isn't going to be embarrassing to all the people.
Album recall. Fashion's incorrect.
Write another chorus. I guess that was for the best, goddamn. These girls in knee length socks did not dance like I did. I did not dance in the kid. Did not dance like me. In Fred Perry shirts, these guys did not dance like I did. So
The other thing that really stands out on this record is the production. Two sets of producers that you've worked with before separately in Count Bounce, also known as Pip from TZU, and Hermitude. And this time you've brought them together. Yeah. What was that like, bringing those two forces and all of you working in the same studio together?
In a lot of ways, that, to me, is the single most important part of this record. And Hermitude are just, you know, they're on fire at the moment. And there's a momentum and an energy about what they're doing at the moment. It just feels great to be around. And before Hyper Paradise came out, before all that stuff started building up, we thought, what is the thing that we've got to do different here? What do we have to refresh our processes, because you refresh your processes and it automatically stops you walking exactly down the same paths. And you might find yourself at that same destination, but, you know, one of the key things is just trying to jolt what you're doing. And having everybody in the same studio meant that we were really limited as far as the way we write. A lot of the way hip-hop comes together, it's producers work in a solitary kind of fashion, send their music to the vocalist. You quite often lose that studio thing that a band has.
The physicality of it all.
That's right. And this time we put those limitations on, and we're all Sydney-based and Pip's Melbourne-based, so it meant that we only had these, you know, week-long sessions, five or six times during the course of the record. So it just meant that when we were there, it was just game on. And it felt like that too. It felt like everybody was just so pumped. And we slept on the roof of this studio a bunch of times, and it was pretty nasty.
Was that because you couldn't afford a hotel, or you were going all night, just had a little kip on the roof?
It was kind of because we couldn't afford it. And you put together a record and the cost just escalates so quickly, and we were just doing whatever we needed to do to be down in Melbourne and working on that. It just felt like there was this purpose underlying everything that we were doing, and all these sessions where Count Bounce and Hermitude were working together, it felt like watching the Sydney Swans in 2012. It really did. Like
victory,
yeah,
but also sitting on the edge of your seat for the last quarter.
Oh, there was a lot of sitting on the edge of my seat, and there was a lot of midfield silkiness.
I don't know if we're talking about the album or the match anymore. Oh my love, you've been sleeping so long. Hip-hop is about collaboration more than any other genre, and obviously you've done that with the producers on this record and you working with them, but you've perfectly picked collaborators that sprinkle throughout this record as well. Did you pick certain people for certain songs because they could tell the story that you couldn't?
Yeah, I think so. Or just being open to what they might bring to it. A song like The Big Sleep with Alex Burnett, I didn't have any idea about what he would bring to it, but I have a great amount of respect for him as a songwriter. And what he brought to it was far and above what I had hoped to be able to tell in this song. But it really matched where we were trying to go. Fundamentally, if a song wants to go in a certain way, I don't want to hold on to it because I'm really determined to keep the publishing, or I'm really determined that this is just my Earth Boy song and this is like going to have my stamp on it and nobody else. I just want to go where the song wants to go, and that means that all of my records are quite collaborative, and that's fine. If a song wants to have three or four different people on it, then who cares? All we want to try and do is make sure that that song does what it needs to do to provoke a response and to have some kind of emotional impact.